My first appointment out of seminary was to Christ United Methodist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. It was a big church. I was the associate pastor there, and they had over 1,000 in worship and very kind of formal worship service. So kind of like if you went to West End or Belmont, but even bigger. And they had a huge music program. That's one of the main features of that church. So several different choirs, children's choir, youth choir, multiple handbell choirs. They had paid soloists, paid instrumentalists. Like, music was a very big deal at that church. And whenever we would have a baptism, music would play prominently in the baptism. So most often, the folks baptized in the church were infants. And George Strunk was the senior pastor. He actually is still the senior pastor there. And he would lead the congregation through the baptismal liturgy when we were baptizing a baby. And then he would take the baby and walk up and down the aisles of the church and show the baby to the congregation and talk to the congregation and talk to the baby and say, "This is your church. And church, this is your baby. You are to care for this person, to help raise them in the faith, to pray for them, to be their confirmation mentor when they're older," all those kinds of things. Teach them Sunday school, all that kind of stuff. And then after all that, he would come back to the center of the chancel and would say a final blessing or a prayer for the baby. And after he did, then the handbells would chime in. Ring, 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 ring. And then the congregation would sing, "You have put on Christ, in Christ you have been baptized. Alleluia, alleluia." Every week, or not every week, but every time that we did baptism, the congregation would sing that without any prompting or any direction. The handbells would just chime in, and then everybody would start singing. And I was always struck by that opening line, "You have put on Christ." You have put on Christ. What does that even mean, right? I mean, that's just a confusing phrase, isn't it? You have put on Christ. I think it's borrowed from a verse in Galatians 3:27, that talks about when we are baptized, it means that we have clothed ourselves with Christ. Steffi mentioned this a little bit in the children's message. We've clothed ourselves with Christ. So to put on Christ, to wear Christ around us, is part of what it means to be baptized, part of what it means to live in the world as someone who has been baptized. So what is baptism? Today we celebrate baptism of our Lord, and we will remember our own baptism. First and foremost, baptism is a sacrament of the church. And I've come up with a definition for a sacrament. It's kind of long, but I want to share it with you and kind of talk through it a little bit. So a sacrament is a holy, set-apart act of the church. So that means holy and set apart is that it's not something that we do all the time or that's just run-of-the-mill, everyday kind of thing. It is something that is sacred. Sacred and sacrament, they're related to one another as words, right? It is something that is special, that in which we believe God is uniquely present in that moment. Instituted and commanded by Christ. So instituted means that Christ himself did the sacrament, he participated in it, and sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. And so Jesus did both of these, right? In our story today, we hear about Jesus being baptized, and then, of course, we remember the Last Supper in which Jesus instituted communion. And then Christ commands the disciples and those who come after him to do each of those things. Part of the Great Commission is go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? And then Jesus tells the disciples to carry on with communion. So, instituted and commanded by Christ. Using symbolism of everyday materials. That's kind of a unique and interesting thing about the sacraments, is that they use stuff that's available to us all the time. That's just normal, run-of-the-mill stuff. And yet they symbolize, they represent, they have meaning greater and bigger than themselves. And so in baptism, that symbolism, of course, is water. And in Holy Communion, it's bread and juice or wine. These common, everyday things, we drink and we eat every single day. We use water every single day. And yet in baptism, in communion, these simple, everyday elements become something greater. They take on a deeper meaning for us. They are to celebrate God's presence and grace. And in many ways, that's the whole point of a sacrament, is to remind us that God is at work doing something in our world and in our lives They are means of grace, ways that we experience and see and can communicate God's grace with one another. They've traditionally been part of corporate worship, and so sacraments are to be done together, and they are things that have been called sacraments for a long time. Kevin, can you go back so I can get the last of that one? Maybe. There we go. And they're expected of all. So one of the things that separates our understanding as United Methodist from some other traditions about sacraments is that the sacraments are for every person. So in the Roman Catholic Church, for example, there are 7 sacraments, but they're not open to all people. Ordination is a sacrament in the Roman Catholic Church. Not everyone becomes a priest, right? So in our understanding as United Methodists, ordination is not a sacrament. Even though that's something we do in the United Methodist Church, I'm a person who's been ordained, it's not for everyone. And so in our understanding, it's not a sacrament. Roman Catholic Church marriage is another sacrament. But again, we don't think that everybody is to be married. And so it's not a sacrament in our understanding as United Methodists. So again, for us, as United Methodists, we have 2 sacraments, Holy Communion and baptism, and we'll celebrate both of those today. So baptism in particular, there are certain ways that we understand the nature of baptism. The first is that it is our initiating sacrament. So if you think about many organizations in the world, they have initiation rituals, right? If you're elected into a public office, then you place your hand on the Bible and you swear an oath to that office, right? There's an initiating thing that you do to enter into that office. I was in a fraternity in college. There's a whole ritual that we go through to become a member of the fraternity. Many of you may be parts of organizations or clubs or whatever, and there's some kind of ritual or thing that you do to be initiated into that club or group. Well, for us as Christians, what initiates us into the church become part of the body of Christ is the sacrament of baptism. It's how we become part of this family of faith. So that's one of the ways that we understand baptism. The second part of the nature of baptism is that it is a communal act. And our understanding as United Methodist, baptism is not something that you do on your own, alone, in secret, or in private. Baptism is something that is done together as the community of faith, celebrated with all the people, because we all have a part to play in baptism. I talked about how George Strunk, the senior pastor in Louisville, would take the baby up and down the aisles and say, "This is your church, and church, this is your baby." We all have a part to play as someone is initiated into the family of faith. That person has a role to play, and then the congregation itself has a role to play. And so it is a communal act. Another part of the nature of baptism is forgiveness. We often associate forgiveness and baptism, right? And we can understand that symbolism with water. We use water to wash things, to make them clean, right? I did a bunch of laundry this weekend. Anybody else do some laundry this weekend? We use water, right? We wash our dishes with water. We use water to wash. And part of our understanding of the nature of humanity is that we need to be washed. We need to be made clean from the sin in our lives. And our understanding is that only God can do that. And in baptism, we represent that. We see water as a symbol of God's washing us and making us clean from sin, forgiving us. Another part of the nature of baptism is that it calls us into ministry. Did you know that you are called into ministry? I think often we think of preachers as people who are called into ministry, but actually every single person who has been baptized is called into ministry. Because ministry is simply service to God and to one another. And through our baptism, we are called, we are invited, we are commanded to care for one another, to worship and to serve God. Later in the service, as we remember our baptism, we'll go through the baptismal vows once again. And as we do, I'd invite you to listen with these ears in particular. What ministry, how is baptism calling you into service in the world, into ministry for others? And then finally, one of the last ways that we understand baptism is that in it, we are claimed as a child of God. God claims us as God's very own. In the story that Nate read for us, we read about Jesus' baptism, and it starts with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, and he's this kind of wild and crazy guy. He's living out on his own, and he's eating locusts and wild honey, and he's dressed in like weird garb, and he's just out in the wilderness. And people are flocking to him, partly, I think, because of his strange nature and how he's dressed, but partly because of the message of repentance that he's preaching. And he's out in the wilderness, and he's having people come to him by the river, and he baptizes them in the water of the river. And Jesus comes to him. And Jesus himself, the Son of God, is baptized by John in the water. And as Jesus comes up out of the water and he's praying, it tells us that the heavens are opened up. And the very Spirit of God descends upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven calls out, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved." Today we begin a new worship series that will carry us all the way until Lent begins. And the name of the worship series is Imago Dei, which is Latin for image of God. It's taken from that passage in Genesis in which we are told that God creates humanity, all of humanity, in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. And so this series will explore what that means. But in essence, it means that just as God says to Jesus, "You are my beloved," at his baptism, God says to each and every one of us, "You are my beloved. I am God's beloved. You are God's beloved." Each and every one of us is loved and adored and cared for by God. And so this series will explore all the meanings and the implications of that, how we view ourselves and who we are, how we live in the world because we bear the image of God, how we see other people, especially those who are different than us, people who are difficult to be around. What does it mean that they are created in the image of God? And how are we to treat and care for them, and be in relationship with them? So we look forward to that over the next few weeks. So this idea of being created in the image of God, of remembering our baptism. Today, we will remember our baptism. In a few moments after the sermon, we'll give thanks for the gift of water. And we'll be invited to come forward and to touch the water and be reminded of when we were baptized. And to take a pebble with us, a glass pebble, and to keep it somewhere where you might see it each and every day. And be reminded that you are a child of God, that you are God's beloved. Now I'm aware that there may be some of us here who have not been baptized. And so whether you've been baptized or not, you are invited to participate in this ritual, in this remembrance. Because whether you've been baptized or not, you are still God's beloved. And it may be that you can't actually recall your baptism. Many of us were probably baptized as infants and don't actually have a memory of that baptism. And that's okay too. The word remember doesn't necessarily have to do with memory. It means putting back together. Like dismembering is taking apart. Remembering is putting back together. And so what does it mean to think about our baptism and to put ourselves back together in light of God's love and grace and forgiveness and claiming us as a child of God? So whether you can actually recall your baptism or not, you are invited to remember your baptism this day. Friends, just as God called down to Jesus as he was baptized, God speaks to each and every one of us today. You are my beloved. You are God's beloved. Each and every one of you is loved by God because you are created in the image of God. This day, as we remember our baptism, may we be reminded of who we really are, and may we be inspired by God's love for us to love one another. Amen.